Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. As we have discussed many times in the past on News and Views, North Carolina's failure to expand Medicaid, like most other states, has left hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians uninsured and vulnerable. To their great credit, however, some extraordinary people and nonprofits are doing what they can to bring critical health care to a sizable portion of the uninsured. One such group is Raleigh's Alliance Medical Ministry, whose heroic staff helps some of the 90,000 residents in Wake County who lack insurance. Recently, I got a chance to discuss the Alliance's fine work with clinic director Pablo Escobar. Well, Pablo Escobar, clinic director for the Alliance Medical Ministry, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, this is an extraordinary program that serves people in the Wake County area with really, as you've described it, wraparound services in the healthcare world. You serve a huge number of people. Just tell us a little bit about the ministry, maybe how it got started and what it's doing these days.
It actually started about 18 years ago. The First United Methodist Church in Cary saw the need for healthcare for the uninsured and started talking about forming an organization such as Alliance Medical Ministry, which is basically a health clinic that provides primary care to the uninsured. That idea got off the ground about 16 years ago in 2003 and has since then moved several locations, and it wasn't until 2008 that it arrived at the location that it is now.
Sort of east part of Raleigh.
Yes, it's right next door to Wake Med.
Obviously, the need that you all are trying to serve is overwhelming. It's something I think maybe our listeners should be reminded of. We're talking about 90,000 Wake County residents are uninsured, which is almost 1 in 10 people, right?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that so many people are not covered by healthcare, especially in today's environment where we hear about the Affordable Care Act offering universal coverage. Unfortunately, in North Carolina, because Medicaid was not expanded, there is a significant segment of the population that is not covered. But we also have to remember that there are people that are not eligible for Medicaid or health care through the Affordable Care Act. And so a large portion of the people that we serve are people that are simply not eligible for government programs.
So those people, they're probably lucky to live in Wake County because there probably aren't a lot of programs like the Alliance Medical Ministry around the state. But you all provide a whole variety of services that you provide to people, basic primary care, but also counseling and looking at what you've referred to as social determinants. Talk to us about how it works. How do people interact with the ministry? How do they get service?
A lot of it is word of mouth, that people that have somehow found their ways to our door are letting their neighbors and their friends know. But another element of this is the fact that we are part of a network of care that is addressing the needs of the underserved and the uninsured. And that network of care includes the hospitals. So we have very active relationship with, for instance, Wake Med, where their case managers know of us being next door and will refer patients coming out of their emergency room or their hospital discharges to us.
Because people just show up at the emergency room because they're sick and they have nowhere else to go. They're uninsured. They don't know what to do.
So not only are we providing a service to the people that receive the care, but I think we're providing a service to the community in general by reducing these unnecessary health care dollars that are being spent in the emergency room and in the hospital. Because as a result of these individuals getting referred to us, we're able to then bring their chronic illness under control to where they don't need to go to the emergency room anymore. They don't need to be hospitalized because we're bringing, for example, their diabetes under control by reducing these conditions that would then need for them to visit the hospital.
Can you tell us about how many people you serve and what kind of services they're receiving?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because I brought my statistics with me. Yes, we have about 2,500 patients we would consider part of our panel. These are patients that may visit us three or four or five times a year. And I would say that perhaps 80% of them have some sort of chronic illness. Hmm. Chronic illnesses such as diabetes. I would say that hypertension is another health condition that afflicts our population. And I would say that when you combine it with the people that also have diabetes, it's about half of the patient population. There's other illnesses such as asthma, gastroenteritis. Those are the you know, the digestive problems.
Sure.
But you know what? Another illness is depression. And that's where our wraparound service really comes into play so well. Because depression does have kind of this vicious cycle where it affects your health. And fortunately, we have resources in our facility to address those issues, where someone can counsel with an individual that is referred by the physician who suspects there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then the counselor has the ability to assess that individual and refer them to the right place to get psychiatric care if that is needed.
We were talking off air about some of the other factors that you all look at, these, again, social determinants, things like housing, possibility of domestic violence, transportation issues. What does the Alliance Medical Ministry do in this realm? Is there things you can help in those areas with?
Well, I'd like to first address on how we identify that, because I think that's the key. Because what you want to do is to create a welcoming environment where people are willing to share, people are willing to tell you what are some of the issues they're concerned about. And that starts in the waiting room. We have individuals who, out of the goodness of their heart, will come and talk to our patients as they're waiting to be seen. And just it's an informal conversation where these people will open up. And then we will alert our social worker that this patient has opened up about this issue to us. And then the social worker will talk to them. We'll try to see, you know,
maybe connect them to services.
With transportation. You know, they had a real hard time getting there. And as a matter of fact, they walked to the clinic, or that they had to get a ride, or they had to get a taxi. And it's so important to them that they went to all this trouble to do it, but nonetheless, it was quite a bit of trouble and may present a barrier in the future for them making their appointment. So that it starts there. And then, like I said, the social worker can then perhaps mobilize the resources that we have at our disposal. Because this is truly a community organization, we do have resources. We have people that are giving us donations that will help us address these issues that our patients are having that may be barriers to them doing something about their health.
As I was looking through some of the facts on your website, I noted that, is it something close to 70% of your patients are women? It seems obvious to me that if you're helping the caretaker of a family, someone who may not have access to insurance, it's going to have almost sort of like a multiplier effect, because that person all of a sudden is in a better position to take care of the rest of their family.
Exactly. Quite a few individuals, I would say the typical profile of our patient, if you would just have a dart and you had to throw it at a dartboard, and you would probably, it would probably land on a woman who is 52 years old and has diabetes and hypertension. And those conditions are being aggravated by the stressful life that she has. And you alluded to some of these, such as being a caretaker, having to work two or three jobs.
Right, I got a bunch of part-time jobs, works late at night maybe.
Yes, and this individual, because they're working in minimum wage jobs, even if their employer offered insurance, they could not afford it. But as you know, people with part-time jobs often don't have the benefits of full-time. Yes, it's stressful. And the illnesses that our patients present with are often caused by stress, and their diet is not the best because of the stressful lifestyle, and they don't have an opportunity to exercise because they're working two to three jobs, and the type of work that they do is perhaps not the best for their physical condition. A lot of bending over and lifting of weights, lifting of heavy objects, and the litany just goes on and on.
Yeah, well, it's an incredibly important service you all provide. Obviously, you have paid staff, but you also have a lot of volunteers.
Yes. Fortunately, we have the resources, like you said, to hire physicians and nurses and, you know, front desk and back office staff. But we do rely very much on internships and volunteers. For instance, Beverly is a nurse that we have that mm-hmm. comes every Tuesday and takes the calls off the nurse line and triages those calls. And she does this out of the goodness of her heart, mm-hmm. week after week after week. And then we have Megan, for instance, who mm-hmm. works at the reception desk every Wednesday. She's there in the morning helping register the patients. Our doctor psychiatrist comes every week and takes those referrals from patients that have been screened. This is the community. This is why we're a community organization, because we have these volunteers that are not only providing the support that we need, but we also have members of the community that are providing us with in-kind and also cash support.
If listeners would like to get involved, you'd welcome that.
Absolutely.
They can go to alliancemedicalministry.org, or they can just Google or do a web search for Alliance Medical Ministry. And I take it you'll take both volunteers and cash contributions, especially here over the holidays and the end
Absolutely.
Of the year. Pablo Escobar, thank you so much for being with us. Keep up the great work. Maybe we'll talk again real soon and talk further about the successes that the Alliance Medical Ministry is having in Wake County.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.